Hey everyone, welcome to the Family Business Podcast. My name is Dominique Sampson.
And my name is Malobi Sampson II.
And on this podcast, we're going to talk about everything from relationships, careers, God, therapy. Listen, we are talking about it all.
So sit back, relax, and let us take you on the adventure of a lifetime.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, wherever you are. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome back to our podcast. We thank all of you who have been listening consistently to our podcast.
Shout out to you guys.
We thank you so much. We're just but a mustard seed, so we're growing, but we are starting, and we're so thankful that you guys are here along for the journey.
Yes, we are in the process, right? There's nothing wrong with the mustard seed, because that's what moves the mountain. Mm-hmm. That's what Jesus used to shrivel up a tree and make it die.
Get deep on us.
You know, that's what Jesus instructed and was motivated and used to have Peter switch from one side of the boat to the other to fish and pull out some extraordinary amounts of fish, right? An unknown number. Another boat had to come over, right? It took a little bit of faith to just say, all right, I'm going to try you out.
So we thank you. All right. So let's get into our topic for today.
Bada boom.
So today we are talking about the two becoming one.
Two to one. Some interesting math there.
Yeah. Two becoming one. It is such, the Bible says it's a mystery. Such a mystery.
Less is more.
The two are becoming
one. That the two are becoming one.
Yeah. Talk to us about that. So two becoming you were doing one. Some studying earlier today. And I came upstairs and you said, babe, I need you to hear this thing. And so you started talking to me about the Bible Project, which shout out to the Bible Project. We love you guys.
Shout out to you guys. Yes.
And you were talking to me about the Bible Project and some things they were saying that you were listening to. Then you were like kind of going. So sometimes when you talk to me, you're like, I heard this one thing that's like over here and over here and over here. And I'm like, well, slow down. Tell me what you're talking about. But you were very excited to share with me about the two becoming one. So break it down for the listeners. You got me in. I heard you. I'm here with you, babe. So tell the listeners what you were telling me earlier today about that concept.
Sure. Okay. Usually because research, the way I study it and look at it, it's sometimes I'll research something or get a piece of something and it'll sit on the shelf. And then months, weeks, sometimes years will go by. And then it's like, oh, this makes sense. Like, oh, I'm able to connect the two pieces. Mm-hmm. So I saw the Bible Project piece.
Keep going.
Probably sometime last year, right? Last year sometime, I see the Bible Project piece. And I'm like, oh, shoot. They're talking about this word, Shema.
Got it.
And the Shema is interesting because, sorry, that's
squeaked through me. Come on.
Now, the Shema is interesting because Shema is the Hebrew word for hear. Right. And so when we are looking at it in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and 4, the Shema is where you see them say, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one Lord. Right. And then it goes on to say, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and your strength.
So what you're saying is it doesn't technically say Shema in the Bible in Deuteronomy.
It's it not does, say but not in English, because here is Shema.
Okay.
Right.
That's
so
I was going there. No, but it doesn't physically say it in our New King James Bible. You're not going to see that word.
Right.
Shema. There. But if you look at a Hebrew Bible, then that word there will be Shema, which is a type of prayer that Hebrew people gave to God when it referenced to listening and hearing.
Yes. Okay. And it's important to understand the text in the proper cultural context, because it would be the equivalent of when we're in New York, we say certain words that have certain meanings. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then when you go to a different part of the country, you say certain words and it has different meanings. So if I was talking about what I wear on my feet in Kansas and in the Midwest, if they are shoes that I go to play outside with, they're called
tennis shoes.
Mm-hmm. So I'm in New York and I say, oh, let me pop on my tennis shoes real quick. Someone would say, Why are you playing tennis? Right? Like, what are you doing? Right? Or when I'm in the Midwest and they're drinking a drink, mm-hmm. and it could be Coke, Sprite, Dr. Pepper, all those mm-hmm. things. All of it is called
soda.
Pop.
Or right? Pop. Yeah.
In New York, it's called, I'm about to get a soda. I'm about to get a Coke. Like, you call it what it is. Mm. Right? So.
Sounds real gritty.
I guess so. Right? So in the context of the scripture with the Shema, which means to hear, mm-hmm. I could tell you, I want you to hear something real quick. Mm-hmm. Did you hear this? Mm-hmm. Right? But then also the Shema, as the Bible Project breaks it down, explains it as, I want to get your attention. Hey, look at this. Watch this thing.
It sounds like a double meaning. Like, it's like hear, but then it's also like, but
pay attention.
And pay attention.
But then it's also another thing, mm-hmm. which is interesting. And this is why you want to get into the original meaning of a word, because sometimes in the way that we understand a word, it has one meaning in mm-hmm. one culture. Mm-hmm. Right? But there are also some words that we hear the one word, and in the entire culture, it means so many different things, right? Like, sometimes I laugh when I hear older people say, like, we're just going to go together, right? And at a certain point, go together meant the two of you are dating, right? Like, oh, like, I'm going to hop up on it. Like, you know, there's so many innuendos that you're like, whoa, what is, right? But it's like, but maybe someone was meaning like in the country, it could be, I'm going to get on the horse, right? Or it could mean something different.
Right, we get it, yep.
And so to hear can also mean, like, I want you to respond, which is interesting too. Like, not only do I want you to hear what I've just said, but I'm desiring that what is being heard is responded to. Mm. So, Lord, and hopefully you do this when you pray, right? As I'm praying, Lord, please do this thing. Lord, I need you to help with a financial thing. Lord, I need you to help heal a family member. So, Lord, I don't want you to just hear this thing like, okay, I heard you pray. Mm-hmm. Okay. But no, God, I want you to, now that you've heard, I want you to respond to the cry of my heart. Mm.
So what does it have to do
with one?
Two becoming one?
So getting there. So in that passage, the word one is used. Mm. The Lord our God is one. One Lord.
Oh, one Lord.
Okay. Right. And so in that word one, it's the Hebrew word ahad. Ahad is probably how it would be said. Mm-hmm. Ahad. Mm-hmm. And so that word means one.
I feel like when I do that, my throat does something weird.
It's supposed to, right?
And but when it does something weird, I feel like I gotta, like, mucus and it's like, ha ha. But ahad.
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 Ahad. Mm-hmm. And so it's interesting. What's interesting about this word, and I just learned about it, so I don't want to come across like, ooh, yeah, you know, this is coming out of my deep spiritual. No, this is something that I recently learned. I've prior to hearing this, I always thought about one as singular. Mm-hmm. And even though biblically I see examples of one being not just singular.
Mm-hmm. And right? We spoke about that with, like, examples of like one.
What are some examples? Go ahead.
One bushel of, I don't know, fruit or roses.
Broccoli, right?
Broccoli. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like one container of juice.
Right.
You know, whatever that is, or you're buying one container, one package, one set of something, but it has multiple things in it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right. Exactly. Perfect example. Thank you for that. That was good.
Why, thank you, babe.
Right. And so when you have one, in those instances, one isn't singular. It's plural.
Right.
And so then when we think about biblical examples of that, shout out some biblical examples. Go ahead.
Oh, man, you're stumping me. Biblical examples of where it's one. Well, I can think we kind of talked about it when in Genesis, when God is saying, let us make man in our image.
Yep.
He's clearly talking to someone else.
There's more than one.
There's more than one that's there. He's, you know, he's having a conversation. So I think that's an example.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
No, that's a good one. Another one early in Genesis is, he sees the day and the night, and he calls it one day, right? And it doesn't say one day, but he sees the nighttime and the light he calls day. And it was one day. Mm-hmm. And it was a day.
Dark right? and light he calls it day.
Right. So you have that one. Mm-hmm. You it's have.
True. We both exist in one day.
Yeah.
Time around the clock.
Right.
Many times, but they all exist in one thing, day.
Right. Another biblical example in Exodus, as they're putting all these things together to build their tabernacle, mm-hmm. they're making one tabernacle. Mm-hmm. Right. So there's multiple examples of this that you see throughout scripture where it's like one mm-hmm. isn't just signifying a singular thing, but it's multiple things coming together to form one.
You know, sorry, when you say that, as a marriage and family therapist, plug, I always say, all right.
Shout out to your practice.
I love being a marriage family therapist. But anyway, as a marriage family therapist, we talk about the whole is not, you know, greater than the sum of its parts. Mm. And how that there is, you know, when a person comes in with mental health concerns or even relationship concerns, that it's not just that one person that has the issue, but it is the factors, the context around that person, every single person who is around that person that actually matters to why that person is moving the way they are moving. They used to actually coin it the schizophrenogenic mother, because they start to study schizophrenic people isolated without their family members around, and realize when they introduce their family members that they were keeping up what they were doing based off of the game and the stories that the family had going on. Mm. Check that out. Study that yourself. But what you're saying, this idea of like there being multiple parts of something, is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's definitely a really cool word, ahad, ahad, meaning one. Mm-hmm. And just the depth of now when you take that and you expand upon it a little more. Mm-hmm. So one of the other examples that we see in scripture, Genesis 2:24, mm-hmm. it says, and a man shall leave his mother and father. Mm-hmm. I think in the past I've said shall leave his wife, and that's not accurate.
You ain't going nowhere.
But he shall leave his mother and father, mm-hmm. cleaving to his wife. Right, and the two shall become one mm-hmm. flesh, I think it even says. And that word one is ahad. Mm. So it's interesting because it's like, ahad, right? It's like interesting that now one is starting to become plural. Mm-hmm. And this concept of one being big mm-hmm. and not singular, it's mm-hmm. it's really powerful and interesting. And then I also learned connected to this, because sometimes for me, I'm like, I'll hear these things and I'm like, ooh, mm-hmm. let me keep this in my arsenal to like pull out. Should like, where do you see the Trinity in the Old Testament? Mm-hmm. Oh, you don't understand Hebrew, because one can be plural. So let mm-hmm. me show you where biblically this makes sense. Terrible. So I use it as a, I use it, I think I'm a undercover and overt apologist, right? I'm mm-hmm. just at any point I want to be ready to explain.
Okay.
Right. So that's part of it. And I think another part of it is I don't want to be ignorant. And so to help people, you can also appear ignorant in trying to make it seem like, yeah, I know evidence of the Trinity with this thing. Mm-hmm. Boom, I'm going to throw down this trump card. Because in Hebrew culture, sometimes things are made plural to be powerful. Mm-hmm. We were talking about this a little mm-hmm. bit before. So sometimes if you see Israel, let us make man in our image. Mm-hmm. It could be showing us as a form of God is so powerful, is the most powerful. Mm. So let us, let mm-hmm. the powerful one, let, and so it's not to say that I don't believe in the Trinity. Mm-hmm. I do. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But how do I lovingly walk somebody to that without, not from an ignorant place, mm-hmm. but from an informed place?
Yeah, I think that's like you're talking about the apologetics piece of it that I think, you know, could have a bit of relevance in your life and how you articulate the gospel to the non-believer. You know, I'm just going back to a little bit of what you said about the two, you know, becoming one mm-hmm. and, you know, coming together to formulate, like, not two half people, but, you know, because you're not doing a double math. You're right. Doing two whole people who are coming together to become one thing.
Whole.
And it's not even that they're losing their identity or anything's being stripped away from
Absolutely
them.
Absolutely not.
But they are coming together to rest as one different thing. Yeah. So they went from being children of their parents to being husband, to being wife, and to having those moments. And I remember when we first got married, I struggled because I'm like, okay, what are we doing? How are we doing this? Mm-hmm. Who are we? And I think for me, knowing a purpose of a thing is extremely important to how successful I can be in the thing. And so for me, if I know the purpose of it, then I'm like, cool, boom. Even if I don't know the purpose, and the purpose is that I will not know the purpose, that's fine with me. But I think, you know, early on, the two becoming one process. I was talking to some folks this week and was just sharing with them that, like, the first year of marriage is, when people say it's hard, it's not difficult in strength. It's not difficult in, it's not complicated. But what it is a challenge to come together and to your mother's tradition and your father's tradition, and what will our tradition be? Your mother's money, your father's money, what will our money do? And so a lot of times for people who desire to be married, it's this very like fairy-tale place, but it literally is like break away from what you know and come and do something completely different. And though that something completely different can have elements and sprinkles of what you knew, but when you come together, it's a whole new thing. Because when to use that example you're talking about with the tabernacle, when they were using gold, gold was one thing. But when gold came together, it made something completely different. It didn't change its form because it was still fully gold. Mm-hmm. But now it went to look, it's not just a block of gold sitting somewhere. Mm-hmm. Now it has become a part of this tabernacle, this Ark of the Covenant, this piece, this magnificent thing. And now it looks different. There's a poem or a play, I believe. And it's talking about the cross, and they, you know, it's like dealing with trees, and the trees are talking to each other essentially. Mm-hmm. And they're like, why doesn't anybody come pick me? And the other tree is talking to the other tree, like, nobody's picking me. Nobody's picking me. And they're like, oh, I get to be picked today. And they're chopping me down. They're putting ornaments on me, and I get to do this and do that. Mm-hmm. And eventually the life of the tree gets chopped down to become the cross that they make for Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it was telling a story about Jesus in the way of like these trees, and basically saying, you know, you didn't know that your purpose was the greatest purpose was to be the place that housed the, you know, on earth here, Jesus Christ. And so, you know, just thinking about that thing, having a multiple purpose.
Yeah, it's definitely a powerful thing as you start to like pull it apart. And even the point you were making about our understanding, mm-hmm. sometimes it feels like, oh, does it mean that I have to forsake to become a part of?
Right. Right.
And you don't have to, you know. It's kind of like you can go to school and get all of this education, mm-hmm. and sometimes when you actually go out to the field, you have to throw away everything you knew because the field is a little different than school. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean you forget everything, or that it has no purpose, because there may be a time where, oh, now I can see how certain things connect.
Right. Right.
But I have to build my own understanding and identity of how this thing works in practice, even though the theories are really great.
Yeah. So my question to you is, what do you think are your strengths in this area and your weaknesses in this area? Can we talk about it on another podcast?
Yeah, we could talk about it.
Okay. Let's
we can just keep talking and then just do a part two.
Okay. Let's keep talking about it.
Yeah, let's do it.